for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, May the 22nd, 1992. Memorial Weekend, Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is one of two of the evening service for Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, ministry.
Aren't you glad that he's coming? He's preparing a people to thrust out into the land to present the kingdom of God within you to the kingdom of God within them. And all he wants you to do is touch them by the words that he's given you within his word according to his word, that the kingdom of God shall come into a people that's still out there desiring to hear what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. Are you glad of that tonight?
Amen.
Yea, for I would say unto thee, my children, this night, take it not strange that I have brought you for a time into my presence. For yea, I, the Lord thy God, have called you and chosen you to be here for this appointed hour. For yea, I say, look not unto man, for man has not the answer, but I say, look unto me, the Lord and God, the author and finisher of your faith.
Amen.
For now I say, this is the time of rejoicing in me. And yea, I say, bring forth that rejoicing out of your innermost being. Yea, from the lips let it not be said, but from the innermost being let my spirit flow from thee. And yea, I say unto thee, be still in all things and know that I am God. Yea, I say, be still and know that I am God. Yea, I say, still and be known that I am God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yea, for from many directions thou hast come. Yea, and many have been drawn to this occasion, saith the Lord. Yea, it is a gathering unto me. Yea, and I am the one that has ordained it, saith God. Yea, and during this time thou shalt rejoice abundantly, yea, and exuberance shall overcome thee, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for you are in the presence of the Almighty, and the Almighty enshrouds and overshadows thee, saith the Lord. Yea, for you are in the realm of the Shekinah glory of the Almighty, and nothing shall be impossible. Yea, for nothing shall be too hard for your God. For know that I am not, my eyes are not so dim, that I cannot see the faintest move, yea, the most minute move, in the darkest crevices of this universe, saith the Lord. My ears have not grown dull, that I cannot hear the cry of one of the least of mine, saith the Lord. My arm is not shortened, that I cannot reach, yea, even to the other crevices of the universe, yea, for I am come in the midst of thee to minister, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and thou shalt bask in my presence, yea, and thou shalt know that you have absorbed some God in your spirit, saith the Lord. Thou shalt know that you have absorbed an anointing, yea, for I shall pour out a fresh anointing again and again and daily while you are here, saith the Lord thou God. And my blessings shall stay with thee and go with thee, yea, and thou shalt depart from this place, not as you come, but as you would desire to be, saith the Lord. Yea, and thou shalt return to your places of abode, and a new light shall shine forth in your heart. Yea, and a new word shall break forth from your lips. Yea, and all will know that you have been in the presence of the Almighty. Yea, for it is a good day that the Lord hath made. I tell you now, my people, that I would have you to be doers of the word, not just hearers. But I tell you, he that heareth my word and doeth it, I will liken him unto a man that built his house on the rock. and the rains come, the storms blew in, the wind blew, the hail fell, but that house stood, and great shined the splendor of that house. But if one would be so folly to hear the word and turn away his heart, I would liken them unto a man that built a house on the sand. Then come the rains, the storms, the hails, and the winds, and that house was destroyed, and great was the destruction, saith the Lord. But it shall not be so with thee, for I know, saith the Lord, that I detect a hungering in the hearts of this people. I detect the spirit of revelation, yea, and the spirit of reaching out for knowledge. Yea, and thou shalt surely not be disappointed, saith the Lord, for I shall make my presence very known to you. Yea, it shall be very obvious that the service is moving by the Spirit of the Almighty. Yea, and thou shalt say of the Lord, it is a good that we could be here. Yea, and the Lord shall say, you are my children, my people, and I am your God. I shall not be ashamed to make the proclamation that you are mine, for I have called thee, saith the Lord. The calling is mine and not yours, saith the Lord. Yea, I have called and you have come, and you may draw very near unto me now. Say not in your heart that God is afar off, and we must send an embassy to bring him nearer. Say not in your heart that he is way down, and we must send an embassy to bring him up. But I tell you now that he is as near as your mouth. Speak the word, yea, and liberation shall come. I tell you that I shall call you liberators, saith the Lord. Yea, for you shall liberate them that have been brought into captivity. Yea, and has submitted to captivity. But I tell you now that the shackles are being broken. Yea, and you are being set free. Take advantage of your liberty in the Lord. Yea, and know that the Lord has reached down. He has smiled on you. Yea, and he has reached down his hand to succor thee. Yea, into a deeper experience, saith the Lord. Yea, for thou must go from strength to strength, from glory to glory, and from faith to faith. Yea, and thou must continue the processing until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of your Lord and of his Christ, saith the Lord. I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee, but I shall go with thee to sustain thee. In battle I will be there. Yea, in trials I will be there. In the glee I will be there, saith the Lord. I am the healer. Yea, I am the deliverer. I am the preserver. Yea, I am he that created all things, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, and I know each one of you by name. Yea, further, I have every hair of your head numbered, saith the Lord, thou God. And nothing can happen to you without my knowledge, saith the Lord. Oh, praise God forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, great God, for your wonderful goodness. Oh, minister, great God, praise the Lord to this people tonight. We come with hungry hearts. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Oh, be strengthened in the power of the might of the Almighty. Therefore, know that you cannot stand in your own strength, but in my strength you'll do very well, saith the Lord. Yea, you will stand and not fall. You will go over and not under. Yea, for the Lord thou God shall take notice and sustain you, saith the Lord. Yea, and troubles shall be dissolved. Yea, even now, saith the Lord. Yea, even now I am at work behind the scenes, saith the Lord. Yea, the home that you left to come, and the trouble that was boiling and sithering. Yea, I'm doctoring on that right now, saith the Lord. I am stilling the storm. Yea, and ye shall go home to find that the Lord has moved. Yea, and you shall be amazingly glad, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, great to be praised is our God. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, blessed be the Lord. The angel of the Lord shall minister, yea, in the midst of thee even now. The angel of the Lord pays us a visitation, yea, and he is ministering to the needs throughout the tabernacle, the congregation of the Lord. Yea, saith the Lord, I have spoken some things, but I shall speak more. I have spoken great things, but I shall speak greater, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for you have not seen the half yet, saith the Lord. But I tell you, the day of revelation is here. Yea, and I shall begin the unveiling at a rapid pace, saith the Lord. Therefore, you must pray the God on high that he will open up your spirit of revelation, yea, and let the Son of Life shine in, yea, that you may know what is the intent of the Almighty and what is the will of God for your life, yea, for know that there is a plan individually for each of you, saith the Lord. It is a plan of God. If you wonder how old it is before the world was spoken into existence, yea, I had already worked me out a plan, saith the Lord. My plan was to bless humanity. Yea, to see that not one man, woman, boy, or girl would pass across the scenes of life without having a chance to minister before God, saith the Lord. Yea, and to please me, saith the Lord. For have you not read that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and filthy lucre, they should live godly and holy in this present world, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, know that the Lord visiteth in mysterious ways, and none shall be cheated in life, saith the Lord, not cheated by the Almighty. Yea, for he shall surely give you a visitation. Yea, and you will be taught and know right from wrong, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for the Lord shall, in that day thou shalt hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. The wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing, and the glory of Lebanon shall be given to them, and the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak knees, confirm the feeble hands, and say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with a recompense. Our God will come to save us, saith the Lord. Yea, then shall the blind eyes be opened, and the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap his heart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and springs in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Highway shall be there. And a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sadness and sorrow shall flee away. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what a great company this is. Hallelujah. Amen. What a great thing to rejoice over, what God is doing for us and to us and through us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My, we certainly have enjoyed the beautiful the songs and all the expressions of praise and just the good things that the Lord's doing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I don't, it's just been all ordered of the Lord, I feel. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here. It's always a treat to come to Lake Hamilton. I have traveled widely and gone many, many, many places. I like to come to Lake Hamilton. Always meet the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, thank the Lord. I've been a long time in ministry. I think it's a long time according to most anybody's standards. The Lord's been gracious to me. I tell you, He has. I relate to some of the words of the old song, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It was grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me on." Thank the Lord. I have been ordained of the Lord to preach the unsearchable riches of His blessed kingdom. I stand before you tonight with a blessed hope. I don't mind telling you that I hope to walk into life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's a blessed hope. Now, ours is the kingdom of, see, ours is kind of a dilemma here. We are in a kingdom. You understand? We are of a kingdom in a kingdom. And there's a vast difference between the kingdoms. And we kind of like both kingdoms. I mean, we might as well, let's tell the truth and stay in church now. We kind of like both kingdoms, don't we? Yeah. You know, we have to finally decide which one we like the most. In the kingdom of God, well, I'll tell you what most of us would like, since we've thought it over now a minute or two and realized that we are in a kingdom, and we kind of like both kingdoms. I mean, you know, I kind of like it here, and I kind of like what I believe is beyond. I like it real well, but I'm so used to this that, you know, I know that I'll stay here just as long as I can. But what I'd really like to have, and what I think most of us would like to have, is the best of both kingdoms. wouldn't that be a dream life? If we could just have the best of both, but you can't do that. He's got it fixed so it won't work that way. You can't have the best of both. You can have the best of one and some of the other. Well, he's going to finally remove the last traces of the kingdom of this world out of us. For the first 15 years of my ministry and longer than that I was, you know, I was raised in church. I came up through all the old school. Believe me, I come through the old school of Pentecost, and I'm kind of glad of it. And I talk about them a lot, but I don't belittle it any. It's all been profitable to me. But my first years were, they first taught me, my first teaching was they taught me how to die. Yeah, well, you know, and so I hoped, my blessed hope then was that I would die and go to heaven. But now my blessed hope is that I'll live and reign with Christ. But you see, ours is kind of a dilemma because the church teaches us to get ready to die, and the Bible's telling us to get ready to live. And the church is teaching us to get ready to go, and the Bible's telling us to get ready to stay. Hallelujah. The church tells us to seek divine healing. The Bible's telling us to seek divine health. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. My hope is that I'll just walk right into life without going by the way of the grave. If the time element is as I suspect it is, I would have ample time to do that if I could stay around here as long as my forefathers did. Even right now, I still like about 32 years being as old as my dad was when he died. And he had 10 brothers and sisters, 10 in all, brothers and sisters, and the youngest any of them ever died was 93. My dad lived 97. I like 32 years being as old as he was. And he had one sister that lived 105 and a half. And on the other side, well, they were living like they lived like 85 to 88, long in there. So, and that don't mean anything, because, goodness, a building could fall in on me. But I've been where you're supposed to get killed a lot of times, and I didn't get killed. I've seen everybody else get killed, and I didn't get killed. And I kind of wondered why. And it was the Lord. But I'm glad it was the Lord's business, because I just wouldn't have chosen it quite like that, I don't think. I don't know. I hated the calamity and destitution and terror of war, but I survived the war the odds were tremendously against me all through the whole war in Europe, but God, in his mercy, just preserved me. What can I say? I'm going to say, I opened up. God, I'm glad I didn't have to make all them decisions. I mean, am I going to... Is this guy or that one now? Everybody's praying for this one, and everybody's praying for that one. I'm glad it's God's business to make all them hard decisions. He leaves us light ones, easy ones. He makes the hard decisions for us, doesn't he? Isn't God good? Amen. He is wonderful to be praised. I'll share some scripture with us tonight if... let me see if I'll start. Okay, I'll start at a good one right here. In Matthew, St. Matthew chapter 16, very familiar passage, and I'll be just working around this some way, I guess, tonight. And again, it's a great privilege to be here, and we're happy to have all of you here. Many of you I know, and many of you I don't know, I guess. Many of you know me, and a lot of you don't. But we're all the Lord's children, aren't we? Yeah. All right, in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, I'm going to read this familiar passage in the 18th verse, where the Lord says, and it goes like this in my King James Version, "And I say also unto thee," he's talking to Peter, "thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Here's a statement here that comes right on the heels of the Apostle Peter breaking that great revelation that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And for Jesus had just asked him, he said to his disciples, as they came up out of Caesarea, and they came up to the crest of the hill, and he stopped to rest a minute, and he said, "Hey, what's people saying about me?" You ever wonder what people are saying about you? Jesus said, what are they saying about me? And so the disciples, the apostles, they looked at one another, and one of them said, "Well, I heard somebody speculating that you was Jeremiah." And another one said, "Well, I heard speculation that you was Isaiah." And one said, "Well, I heard somebody speculating that you must be John the Baptist and you raised from the dead." And Jesus, then he inserted the main question. And he said, "But whom do you say that I am?" And the Apostle Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was exuberant. He was really excited. He said, Oh, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Bajonas. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Now, they already said what flesh and blood was revealing. I mean, you didn't see this. You didn't hear it on television. You didn't read it in the newspaper. But you have got it from the Father. And if you got it from the Father, what is that? That is revelation. And then Jesus begins to talk about this church. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if I were to ask you, this congregation here that comes from, cuts across many religious orders and fellowships and maybe denominations, if I were to ask you, what was he talking about when he said, this rock? Well, I'd probably get several answers, wouldn't I? So we won't ask that one. Let's ask the one that we won't get but one answer. Whose church did he say it would be? We're all agreed on that, aren't we? He specified whose church it would be. It would be his church. And then I ask another obvious question. Who did he say would build this church? He said he'd build it, didn't he? All right, now whether you think the rock was Peter the rock, or the revelation was the rock, or Christ is the rock, hallelujah, but he built his church. It is his church, and he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that's a great statement within itself, but let's look at some more scripture here. Why don't we look at Isaiah 61 here to start with, and we'll get right along here. In Isaiah 61, beginning with the first verse, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And then it goes ahead, and for the sake of time, we won't read the rest of it, but it points out the ministry of the blessed Lord. This is the Lord, our Savior. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Now let's turn to Zechariah. Over in the book of Zechariah here, chapter 6. And we'll read a verse of scripture here from verse 6. Let's read from verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, a man whose name is the Branch. Now, who is the Branch? The Branch is the blessed Lord. It's Jesus. And behold, a man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. He shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. All right? Now let's see. This man whose name is the Branch, that's the blessed Lord, and he's going to grow up out of his place, and he's going to build the temple of the Lord. That's the church that Jesus said that he would build, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Now we have the prophet foretelling it hundreds of years ahead of Jesus' statement here, and he's going to the first thing he's going to do, he's going to grow up out of his place. Well, we know that he did that, didn't he? He grew up out of his place, for he was a king. He is a king, and he is a great intercessor, and a king's place is on a throne, or in with dominion, and in great power, and fanfare, and all the splendor and wealth that can be brought together. This would be a king's place. But it says here of this Branch that he's going to grow up out of his place. Naaman. He's going to grow up out of his place. I tell you, the places that we will find him growing up and maturing is certainly no place for a king. He grew up out of his place because he's going to build his temple. He's going to build the temple of the Lord. And unless he would grow up out of his place, he had to do it just like he's going to do it. It wouldn't work any other way. He had to, there was a plan already formulated, and he must follow the plan. All right, let's see. Let's turn to St. John in connection with this, chapter 10 and verse 17, and we'll pick him up here. Jesus. And in the 10th chapter of St. John, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, what is being said here? If you think for a moment at the 17th verse, where he's talking about laying down his life and taking it up again, if you think for a moment that he's talking about Calvary, you'd just be partially right. But he is not talking about Calvary here. Although Calvary is included, but he is not talking about Calvary. He is talking about his life. Now, he is talking about his life, and he says that he will lay his life down, and if he lays it down, he has the power to take it up again. Now, I don't know just what transpired in the heavens, but here was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and down in the earth was humanity in sin, in rebellion away from God, and needed, in the worst way, a Savior. And I believe that the Son, Jesus, who was in the bosom of the Father from before the worlds were, I believe that he volunteered to come. Oh, hallelujah. And I believe that the life that he said, I will lay down, was the eternal life that he had with the Father in the heavens. Because nowhere in the Scripture is Jesus credited with raising himself from the death that Calvary caused. But the Bible is specific, and when he speaks of that raising up, he says that God raised up Jesus from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. That's not the death. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the life that he had with the Father before the worlds were. He was talking about eternal life. My sheep follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Well, are you following him? You're followers, aren't you? Well, when are you going to have eternal life? If the sheep follows him and he gives unto them eternal life, when are you going to have eternal life? Okay. You made A on that one. Hello. I'm not going to receive eternal life. I have received eternal life. Hallelujah. Oh, in him was life, and that life lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world didn't know him, but the world was made by him. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness could not absorb the life of our blessed Lord. Now, here's what I say that Jesus was talking about here. He said, all right, I will lay down my life. He pulled off his royal robes, whatever they consisted of in the heavens, and laid them aside. With this, he laid down his eternal life. And then, from that instant on, he entered into a realm of time.
in a realm of death. But his eternal life was laid down in the eternals. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Paul said, oh, the mysteries. Hallelujah. That he has revealed to me. Now, Jesus, I said, was not talking about the death from the cross, though he included that. But he never credited himself with raising himself from the dead. But after God raised him from the dead, he would ascend back on high. Oh, hallelujah. Lead captivity captive as he went up. Oh, glory. Give gifts unto men. Praise the Lord. Oh, I tell you it is expedient, said he to his disciples, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter won't come. But if I go away, the Father will send you another Comforter. Notice he said, another Comforter. He's the first. Hallelujah. He's the first. Oh, it has pleased the Father that by him he'll call many sons to glory. Hallelujah. Many sons to glory. Oh, who all's a candidate for sonship? Everybody that has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Who's a candidate to walk in the light? Everybody that has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're a candidate. I don't mind telling you that I have announced my candidacy all over the United States and the four lands beyond. The regions beyond. Hallelujah. Amen. I announce my candidacy. I am a candidate to walk into life. Now that I have announced my candidacy, what must I do? Make my calling and election sure. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Nobody, said Jesus, can take this life from me except I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I have the power to take it up again. This power and authority have I received from my Father. Oh, glory to the Lord. He is the obedient Lamb. Hallelujah. Hundreds of years before this, there was a people that God had chosen out to be his people. And they had flourished in many victories. But finally, they had been brought into captivity, and there they had been held for some 400 years. Hallelujah. Oh, but when that 400 years of persecution was expired, God spoke to Moses, whom he had sent to deliver them, and said, tell the elders of Israel to go out into the sheepfold on the 10th day of the month and get a lamb. The lamb has to be a yearling of a year old. And tell them, be sure and not get one with any blemishes or any spots, any marks, any defects. And bring him home. This will be the responsibility of the priest of the family. The priest of the family was the oldest or the daddy of all the rest of them. And when we get our group together, there's about 30 of us. I'm the priest of the family. There's all my four sons, four daughter-in-laws, my daughter and a son-in-law, 13 grandchildren. Split them as even as could, 7 and 6. 7 boys and 6 girls. 13 grandchildren and 1 great-grand. Now, if I had been in Egypt, I'd have got all of them back behind them doors. I would have been responsible for going and getting the lamb. And I had to bring him in on the 10th day of the month, and then you put him up until the 14th day. That's 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, that's 4 days. Now what was the significance of this? This lamb had to be without spot or blemish. Any mark of defect. Well, if you ever seen a flock of sheep, you know they all look alike. I mean, you hardly ever see a spotted one. but sometimes you might see a black one. But these all, I think they were snow white. And they were, But they all had to be, one couldn't have a spot. If there was one with a spot, you didn't get him. Now, the reason for keeping him up 4 days, this is going to be an offering. This is going to be a blood covenant. And the blood that comes from this lamb has to be pure. No mixture. Has to be pure, and it can't come from a sick. You can't offer God a sick lamb. Hallelujah. And so you had to feed the lamb every day, so you examined him. See, he might possibly get hurt in the catching, and he would develop a fever, and he'd get droopy or drowsy in that 4 days. If there's anything wrong with him, it'd show up in 4 days. But the beauty of it is, not that, but what it pointed to. The beauty of it is how God could play it over again hundreds of years later in exact proportion. For Jesus came up into Jerusalem on the 10th day of the month, hundreds of years after the first Passover was slain. And he came up riding, he rode two donkeys into Jerusalem. He rode the adult, the big one, the mama one, and the foal, that's a colt. He rode, the Bible says he rode them into Jerusalem. Now, if you want to ask me how he done that, well, I have somewhat of an explanation. It could be done. He could sit sideways on the big one and let his feet rest on the other, and they could walk in side by side. And neither one of them had never been ridden. It was the power of the Almighty that tamed them. And if he could bring, if as a result of the, just what was the type, could bring up 6 million Jews out of bondage harnessed, I'm sure he could control a couple of donkeys to walk like he wanted them to. But the symbol of it is that Jesus rode the old in. Hallelujah. He come in on the old.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But it's not the old that he's so interested in. It's this new order.
Hallelujah.
He comes in on the old, but he's going out on the new. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. He was born under the law. Oh, it's beautiful to trace and see just how God wrangled that. Hallelujah. But it's all right there. It's all right in this book. And it's beautiful to explore. Well, so Jesus comes into Jerusalem and they arrest him. And for 4 days, they shipped him from one tribunal to another, with each one testifying, I find no fault in this man. Pontius Pilate had the distinction of judging him, and his wife had come to him and said, hey, handle this man easy. I had a dream. I had bad feelings about this. So Pilate said, I'm going to turn him to Caesar and wash my hand, but I find no fault in him. He was a spotless lamb that fulfilled the type. Jesus is our Passover. Hallelujah. He is our Passover. But back to Egypt there, and the elder of the family caught the lamb, and this is what he did. He was told to slay the lamb and dress him. And eat him with bitter herbs. Eat him with bitter herbs. Don't make him taste as good as you can, but let him taste a little bitter. When you eat it, you'll have to digest it. And you remember John said, come and take the little book, put it in your mouth and eat it. In your mouth, it'll be sweet as honey, but in your belly, it'll be bitter like wormwood. Well, in your mouth is just philosophy. That's just talk stuff. But when it gets down in your belly and you start digesting it, that's when it gets bitter. Hallelujah. It's easier told than it is done, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? Think of the beauty of this. Now, the old patriarch of this family has all of his posterity back here. And he comes and puts blood down both sides of the door and over the top. But not over the bottom, because you couldn't walk on the blood. This is representing the blood of that great lamb. Now, what thrills me is I am convinced that there was a lot of rebellious sons and daughters back there behind them doors. But this guy had the responsibility of getting them back there and applying the blood. He had a great responsibility. He was responsible for his whole family. And he was responsible to see that the blood was applied for the whole family. And when that death angel came through, he didn't knock on the door and say, "Who's back there?" He just looked at that blood, and he passed on over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's all it took, just an application of that blood, and he passed on over. Oh, the blood, the precious blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my. But if there had been no blood on that door, the firstborn, all right, if I'd have been in charge of that, there's no blood, my oldest son would have died. His oldest son would have died. And his oldest son would have died. Right back there behind that door. And then to the next house that death angel would go. Oh, I tell you, the responsibility that he has heaped upon us is much. Not to be taken lightly, is it? Hallelujah. So Jesus then, here when he says, "I'm going to go, I'll lay down my eternal life, and I'll come through, I'll go down and be the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And when I have come to all the way," it would cost him his life, this life, but he had entered into the death realm. He left a realm where there was no death, no sickness, no sin, no nothing. It was just God. And he came into this death realm. Everything around us is dying. And we ourselves are, this tabernacle is decaying. It's just tabernacle that I live in here. It's the way that you know me. We relate to each other, but this never was meant to be permanent. Hallelujah. Even if I walk into life, which I hope to do, I won't. This body will be changed. Paul said, "Behold, I'll show you a mystery." I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That word sleep is same word rendered death. He's saying we shall not all die. But we shall be changed. He said, "I'm going to show you." And it is a mystery. Because everybody I know that was, you know, that had a lot of years on them when I got to know them way back yonder, not one of them remains. Everybody I know has died when their time comes. But here we have the Bible saying we shall not all sleep. We won't all die. There has to be an explanation for that. And the explanation is there's a time element. And that's why that I say, if my timing, my concepts are right, I wouldn't dare try to set a day, but it would be well within my scope if I could see as many days as my forefathers. Therefore, I would live in that time when all won't die. But we all would be changed. So if I went into that now with this body that I'm, this tabernacle that I'm living in now, it would be changed in a moment, but nobody'd have to bury it. And I'd have a body like unto his glorious body. Somebody says, "What's it going to look like?" Well, when we see him, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. I don't know how that is. I don't know just what form it will take on, but when we see him, we'll be like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he'll change this body like unto his glorious body. Somebody said, "Well, what if I die?" Oh, my. Oh, my. You know, I tell you, I don't mind telling you this, that if I do not have a chance to walk into life, I'd rather go now before the great tribulation sets in. I'd rather go now and wait for the first resurrection than in the grave, than to have to seal my testimony through that great tribulation. You know, Jesus spoke of it in Revelations chapter 2 and 10, and he said, 10 days of tribulation. He's going to put the... All right, hallelujah. Yeah, you better get your business together because he's going to give you 10 days to repent. 10 days to pay up. Hallelujah. That's what I wouldn't want to go through. If I could have my choice, I would rather go somewhere this side of there by the grave if I can't make it to that first resurrection alive. All right, Jesus said, all right, I'm going to go and I'll do this, but I'm going to lay down my life and can't nobody take it up. You know, Jesus, when he was praying to his Father, he said, all that you gave me has come, and I haven't lost any, and there's no power that can take them out of my hand. Didn't he say that? But what he didn't enlarge on was the fact that, Father, it's true there's no power that can take you out of his hand, but there's nothing to prevent you from just walking out and missing God 1,000,000 miles. Hallelujah. And a lot of people will do that. Just walk out. You know, the prodigal son, he left. He didn't get run off. His daddy didn't run him off, did he? His brother didn't run him off. They hated to see him go, but he left. Fortunately for him, he got the good sense later to come back, but he walked out. You can walk out, but God will never forsake you. And there's no power. If you want to walk with God, there's not a power on earth that can prevent you from doing it. There's no temptation that will overtake you that he won't make a way for you to escape and come with him. He's building his church. So we find Jesus, then he comes to the earth to build this church and that he has spoken of. And that's where we are tonight. We're in the church that Jesus has built. This is a temple that he come to build. You know, I often have said, if we would follow the example that Jesus set for us, we ministers especially, would follow the example that Jesus set for us and the early apostles practiced, this that we're doing don't even favor, if you let that expression ride, favor. It does not even resemble the pattern that they set for us. I mean, where do we get all of these great, extravagant cathedrals from? How many towers did Jesus build? How many unusual-looking buildings that you'd look at and have to say, Jesus built that because of its uniqueness? How many did Paul build? Peter? James? John? What's wrong with this, then? Why is it that everybody that gets in the chips and everybody starts patting them on the back and they start thinking that they're great, why is it they have to build a memorial to themselves? If you're going to build a memorial to yourself, build one there and put your name on it. Hallelujah. And they'll know that's where you died. But don't build one and try to tell me that the Lord directed it. You know what the Lord, he wants us to have a place, a building. But you know what I think that is and what the teaching and the example would be? To build a building that is adequate but practical. What's the matter with this building? It's practical. It's cool when the air conditioners are all working. Warm when the heat's working right. And it's got carpet for your knees. Although, I don't think we do enough kneology. But seats that we can shift around. Fellowship hall over there. Dormitories upstairs. It has all that you need. But there's nothing extravagant here. Nothing extravagant here at all, is it? I mean, it's not a memorial. It was built with deliverance for God's people in mind. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn's the architect and the builder, and there's no question but what he was led by God. Hallelujah. Well, you say, well, he wasn't too flush. And I know that's true. But I tell you, if this man had $1 billion, he wouldn't build nothing extravagant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I make no... Yeah. They, in our family cemetery now, I just got a letter in the last get-together. They had the board met and the committee, and they decided to sell the plots. My granddaddy, five generations ago, give them as much as they wanted acreage, and they want to sell the plots and have you... Now, you buy ever how many sites you want, and you go out there and mark it off. Put down some permanent markers. Go ahead and put up the tombstone. But I tell you what, if you ever walk up to a tombstone that says Jack A. Harris, well, I'll be laying at the foot of that thing. Because I ain't about to make a covenant with death. I'm not about to get a stone with my name put on it and me put it up there and then wait till you lay me there. Because Isaiah said, don't make a covenant with death. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, what about Brother Jack's plot? That's a lot of them, and he won't do that. Well, don't worry about him. We'll just let him be an exception. Yeah, you don't have to do it. I'm not making no covenant with death. Not that. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't sell me no barrel insurance. Any insurance salesman, don't try to sell me no barrel insurance. Hallelujah. I told you about the guy that wanted to build me the fallout shelter years ago when they got afraid of the Russians, you know, and everybody was building fallout shelters. So a guy that was building them, he come to my house and said, hey, preacher, let me build you a fallout shelter. Talk about it. Said, what do you build it out of? He said, our competitor builds them out of...
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.